This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
...9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. By Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville in Hillsboro. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield. By Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Garrell's Auto Body in Litchfield. And by DC Waste and Recycling. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Welcome to Sports Saturday on a Arctic type of day right now across mid-Illinois.
But that's typical for this time of year because it's Macoupin County Tournament Week and Litchfield Invitational Tournament Week and Highland Girls Tournament Week. And traditionally, we get some of the coldest weather, it seems like, and sometimes a lot of precipitation, although it doesn't appear this week we're going to get a lot of precipitation.
Just cold,
basically, and a little bit of snow.
Hey, as long as the heat's working in the gym,
hey,
that's all that,
that
matters.
It's all that matters.
Full day of hoops across the area. Full day of hoops here on WSMI FM 106. We will start with the actual schedule for today, then we'll roll in to the broadcast schedule. We're going to have four games today for you on FM 106. We'll bounce between the Litchfield Invitational and the Macoupin County Tournament. And, Terry, the Macoupin County Tournament has turned 100.
100th year of the Macoupin County Tournament, and quite a milestone. Still the second oldest county tournament in the state of Illinois. And
everything changes from 1 to 100, obviously, but... my goodness, it doesn't look anything like it did at its inception.
No, it you go back prior to 1980, it was single elimination and boys only, and then I believe it was 1980 when the girls came along and they did the double brackets so it's changed over the years. It's evolved, I guess, is which one way of putting it.
Devolved.
I miss the brackets. I'll just be honest with you. I miss the brackets.
We'll get into that a little bit
as
the show goes on. But the tournament will start at noon today. Two girls games up first. Top seeded Carlinville takes on number 5 North Mac. And then at 1:30 in the other girls game today, number 2 Staunton against number 6 Bunker Hill. Terry, then three boys games.
Yeah. Staunton will take on Gillespie at 3:00 this afternoon. Staunton, the number 2 seed, Gillespie number 7. At 4:30, third seeded North Mac takes on number 6 Bunker Hill. And then to top off the evening, top seeded Southwestern. We'll take on fifth-seeded Mount Olive, and we'll have the broadcast of the last two games on WSMI FM 106.
And that's a good indicator right there how much the tournament has changed. The first Saturday of the Macoupin County Tournament, full day of basketball, and the last game's at 6.
The last game's at 6 o'clock, and only five games. There were days where we had, what, 8 games? And, it's changed, so...
the Litchfield Invitational, just half as old. They are in their 51st year at Litchfield, and they've got four games lined up today as the top four seeds outside of Nokomis will all be in action today beginning at 2:30 in Litchfield.
Well, number four-seeded Greenville will take on Roxana at 2:30. And by the way, these are all in Simmons Gymnasium today. At 4 o'clock, Hillsboro, the number six seed this year, will take on East Altonwood River. At 5:30, number 2, Taylorville, battles number 10, Lebanon. And then top-seeded Civic Memorial will take on the Litchfield Purple Panthers. And the number 9 seed at 7 o'clock tonight. And we'll have the Hillsboro and Litchfield games on the radio live on WSMI-FM.
So. That's right. Our broadcast day will start at 4 o'clock this afternoon from the Litchfield Invitational. It'll be Hillsboro against Wood River live at 4 o'clock. We will then head to the Girard campus of North Mac High for the Macoupin County Tournament, a boys matchup between North Mac and Bunker Hill. Broadcast of that game at 5:30. We then go back to the Litchfield Invitational for Litchfield and Civic Memorial. That game will be live at 7 o'clock. And the nightcap from the Macoupin County Tournament has Southwestern taking on Mount Olive in boys action. That broadcast for you at around 8:30 tonight. Four games.
Yep.
Here on FM 106, we'll stream it all at WSMIRadio.com.
And we will have coverage every night from the Macoupin County and the Litchfield Invitational Tournament, with the exception of Wednesday, which is the day off for both tournaments.
And who knows, maybe we'll need that day.
Well, let's hope we don't need that day. Let's hope we don't have to postpone any games. And I guess Dave will read the weather here. They're still calling for some snow, I guess, tomorrow and maybe on into Monday. But I don't think it's supposed to be a whole lot. So
just kind of a dusting.
Yeah. Stay away from the ice. The wind is bad enough.
Oh.
Was it last year they moved them? It was either last year or the year before that games got moved. Moved days.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
It all kind of blends in.
So it has happened.
I don't remember what I had for breakfast.
There was a year that the kids stayed overnight in the gymnasium.
I remember that. Was that the Litchfield Invitational? Whatever bus that got, like, stuck on an off-ramp or something?
Yeah, something like that.
And then they ended up staying.
It was about 8 years ago, something like that.
Was it that long ago, Dave?
Well, I remember.
I was going to say like 3 or 4.
No, because I remember I was out of high school but not working here yet, so it was between a 2-year window.
At least you were out of high school. Yeah. I thought you were going to say I was in 7th grade at the time.
No, my gosh. I do remember that. It's been some time.
How many years have the Hillsborough Lady Toppers been going over to Highland now? It's been a number of years now for Hillsborough over in Highland. They're back this year.
They were there early on, probably 2004.
Like the Hope Schulte teams were going over.
Yeah, they were going in there. I'm going to guess about 2004 would be a starting spot. So it's about 14 years they've been there. So, and you know, this is the miniature state tournament for girls basketball. Toppers will take on O'Fallon at 4 this afternoon. And this is a really terrific girls tournament, and Highland does a great job of hosting it. They get a great mix of teams. You see the T-Towns, you see the Modern Days,
Civic Memorial,
Breeze Central, Civic Memorial. Civic Memorial is a terrific
this year
team.
Just, oh my goodness.
Yeah, they should be at stake.
They most likely will be.
Yeah, I would think they stand a pretty good shot. But it's kind of interesting, sometimes teams that win the Highland Tournament, and I don't have any statistics to back it up, but it seems like if you win the Highland Tournament, you don't win the state tournament sometimes. And I'm not sure that that's 100% true, but it sure seems that way. Because it's a tough tournament. It's just a brutal tournament.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many good teams in this tournament year in, year out, that you do have to exert a lot of, if you win this tournament, you've exerted a lot of energy getting there. And we were talking about it just a little earlier this morning, Terry, girls' regionals are right around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, we tend to think of, middle of January. This is beyond the midpoint of the season, certainly.
For boys, it's midpoint.
Yeah, but for the girls, I mean, my goodness, they are on the back end of their season now. So you want to certainly be playing your best basketball right now if you're on the girls' side.
And the thing that I really enjoy about the Highland Tournament, they always have that championship game at 2:30 on a Saturday afternoon on the 20th this year. So, you get an afternoon matinee for a championship game, which I always thought was kind of neat. So,
Hillsborough and O'Fallon, they will play at 4:00 this afternoon. CM and Trenton Westland will tip it off this morning at 10.
In the Hillsborough bracket, they're in the bottom part of the bracket. They also have Modern Day and Taylorville, T-Town and Belleville West, Highland and Belleville Altoff. Well, welcome to Highland.
That's right. Enjoy your stay, please. Thank you very much. So the Toppers will get either Modern Day or Taylorville in their second round.
But again, this is a great way to build, going into towards the postseason. So.
And we've talked about Hillsborough throughout the year. They've maybe lost some games in the first part of the season that you wouldn't have expected them to lose. Yeah. That Tekin has even said, we probably shouldn't have lost a couple of those games, but they did. But they played such a tough schedule early. They seem to be kind of rounding into form here. Certainly they've been very strong in conference play in the South Central all year long, but look out for the Lady Toppers here as we roll in to February.
And it'll be just about a little over a week before they do the seedings, and we'll find out probably on the 27th. I suspect we might know regional pairings by then.
Hillsborough and Auburn in the same sub-sectional. Litchfield is hosting a regional. Alton Marquette hosting the other regional. So it'll be interesting to see there how the IHSA divvies out not the seeds, but the locations.
Yeah, the geography.
I mean,
we talk about the IHSA geography a lot. And that will come into play most definitely for that particular subsectional.
Yeah, because, I mean, for Hillsborough and Auburn, Litchfield is closer for both of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right on the interstate. So, you know.
So we'll see what they do.
Oh, yeah. Who's going to Marquette? That's the question. Is it going to be Auburn or is it going to be Hillsborough?
Yeah, like if you're the tops, and I've never really known this for sure, like in the subsectional seating, if you are the top seed, mm-hmm. do they then send you to the regional that is closest, or do they send you to the regional that they perceive to be the easiest, for lack of a better term? Because a lot of times in the subsectional, it is based on seeding, unless you're the actual school hosting.
Right. So I don't know. It's above my pay grade, okay? I just don't know. That's why we wait for the pairings.
That's exactly right.
And it's all about the draw. You've got to have a good draw. You know, you want a good draw to get you through the bracket. So,
no brackets involved in the Mohawk Classic with the 40th annual Mohawk
year.
Classic. And to the surprise of no one, Nokomis enters the last day a win away from yet another championship.
How about
in
that?
Morrisonville. They are 4-0 in pool play thus far. They will play Lincolnwood tonight. That's the 7:30 game at Morrisonville this evening. Vandalia and Edinburgh will play at 6:15. Then Carlinville and Mulberry Grove playing tonight at 5. Remember, that game was canceled earlier in the week because of the weather.
I think Nokomis has already won the tournament, though, haven't they, with their record?
Well, I don't know. If Lincolnwood beat them tonight, they'd both be 4-1.
And
then Lincolnwood would have the head-to-head.
Okay.
I don't think technically.
Okay.
Could be wrong.
No, you're right.
I think
you're right.
That's what goes. Okay. But Carlinville, Mulberry Grove, not originally on the schedule for tonight, but they will play at 5 this evening. Then Vandalia, Edinburgh at 6:15, Nokomis and Lincolnwood at 7:30. And this Nokomis team, man, we're going to try to catch up with Steve Kimbrough a little bit later in the hour. And I'm not going to say it's a vintage Nokomis team, because I don't know that they really are a vintage Nokomis team per se.
No.
But they are a talented Nokomis team.
And they're big.
And they are big.
They're big.
The game I saw when they played Lincolnwood last week, they had Carter Sobel at 6'8 on the point of the defense. That's a problem.
That's a problem for anybody.
Yes, it is.
I don't care how good of guards you have.
Just swallow you up.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just a sophomore, too, isn't
he? Yes, he is.
Yeah. So.
It's just beginning.
And he's bulked up a lot from his freshman year. He was still 6'8 last year.
Yeah.
But you can tell he's noticeably stronger.
Weights.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. And Braden's not easy to push around either.
No.
Yeah.
Well, you wonder if they've got him playing outside this year, if he'll bulk up even more for next year when Braden's gone. He'll be the true post, like the go-to post player next
year. Oh, he's going to be going to be that. I mean, he's got all the makings.
Yeah.
Carter Sobel.
So. And Nokomis has the regional this year.
Yes, they do. So there'll be a tough out there.
Yeah. In fact, boys and girls, I think, both have regionals. So, yeah. The madness of March. Getting close.
It's upon us.
It's getting
closer. Almost upon us.
It's almost.
We can sense it.
Yes, we've got the silliness of January's weather here, and the tournaments here this week. So,
we talked about the Macoupin County tournament beginning today. The Sangamon County tournament wrapped up last night in the championship game. New Berlin beat Williamsville 48-43. First loss of the year for Williamsville, and the first county title for New Berlin since 1966.
Has it been that long?
Been that long?
Wow. I think the Lucas boys coaching there at the New Berlin. It was at Lincolnwood for 1 year. Yeah.
So you got it done.
Got it done, yeah.
Got it done.
Congratulations to the Pretzels.
Absolutely. So they're county champions in Sangamon. The third place game saw Athens beat Riverton 54-49, and the consolation title, Auburn over Pleasant Plains 47-44. And Plains certainly still trying to get kind of back in basketball mode. You know, it's been a basketball school in the wintertime for a long time, but with their deep football run this year, when you've just been following the scores of Plains, not what we're accustomed to from the Plains Cardinals.
When you go deep in football,
it has an effect.
It does.
It just does. I mean, you can do all sorts of different things to try to counteract it, but when you do it for the first time, especially, there really is no blueprint.
Right. So, but congratulations to New Berlin.
Yes. First time since 1966. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back following these messages.
Sports Saturday returns here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins. Four basketball games on the radio today at the Litchfield Invitational, Hillsboro and Wood River live at 4. From the Macoupin County Tournament in Girard, North Mac takes on Bunker Hill, broadcast time at 5:30. Back to the Litchfield Invitational for a live broadcast at 7 between Litchfield and Civic Memorial. And the nightcap back to the Macoupin County Tournament. It'll be Southwestern and Mount Olive. That broadcast about 8:30 this evening. All four games on FM 106, all streaming online at WSMIRadio.com.
Plus, you can keep up to date with our broadcast schedule by going to our website, WSMIRadio.com. We've got the schedule listed there. And again, it's subject to change, just depending on how things shake out in the tournament.
That's exactly right. While we have a moment here, last night, the Salukis got a nice road conference win. They beat Bradley 63-62. Abby Brockmeyer, 12 points, 13 rebounds, and 3 blocks. Her fourth double-double here in her freshman year. Seventh straight win for the Salukis over Bradley. And don't look now, T, but SIU sits atop the Missouri Valley Conference at 4-1.
When was the last time that happened?
A long time.
It's been a while, hasn't it? Yeah. Wow. Good for Abby. Another double-double.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Missed double-double.
Yeah.
Of course, we had her right here on this program last week. You can hear that program in a podcast at WSMIRadio.com. Happy to be joined on the phone right now by Nokomis head coach Steve Kimbrough. Coach, good morning, sir.
Morning.
Well, you guys have had another good run of games here at Morrisonville. Talk a little bit about your games so far in the Mohawk Classic.
Well, you know, we just come off about 2 weeks off and start back with a game, non-tournament game with Raymond, and then we went into the tournament, and, you know, a little rusty, as to be expected, but, you know, we're putting some pieces back together. We've offensively, you know, been able to put a lot of points up on the board. Our defense has kind of come and gone at times. You know, that's something that we're trying to stress to them to try to get a little more consistent with their defensive side, but offensively, we've been doing real well, I think, in the tournament. Carter Sobbles, you know, he's probably averaging around 20, a little over 20 points. Cannon Ransdale, finally got him to believe in, you know, getting some assists and getting the ball to the people that are open, and he's averaging probably close to 8 or 9 assists in the tournament. So, you know, on average-wise, we've got two kids, Carter at about 15 points, excuse me, McDowell at probably just over 10 points, and my other three starters are all averaging 9.3. So, I mean, we've got great balance with our scoring, and if we can continue to develop on the defensive side, we should get better as the year goes on.
And, Steve, you, of course, take the Christmas break off, and then you seem to basically hit the road for the month of January. You normally don't get a home game, or at least not very many, during the month of January.
No, I don't think we have a home game this January. Other than the Raymond game, we're coming right off the break, because we got our fifth game tonight at Morrisonville, and we go Monday, Tuesday at Litchfield, and based on what we do there, we know we got two more later in the week. And typically we have a break in between there, but we've got games scheduled in there now, so our break's going to come. It's just going to be down the road a little bit, but this is something we've done for years. It's something that, you know, we know what we got doing, and I think they would rather be playing games than practicing anyway.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
Steve, the games I've seen you this year, you've had Carter Sobel at 6'8" on the point of the 1-2-2, and that seems to be something that could be very problematic for your opponents.
Well, it's something he's learning. You know, at his size and athletic and wingspan, he can cause a lot of problems. At least that's what we're trying to do with him, and it's a process where, you know, we got to remember he's 16 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got to mature a little bit. It's not that I, you know, physically he has all the tools. It's just a matter of getting confidence in what he can do and working a little harder. And, you know, he's improved a lot since. But the whole point is having somebody up there that makes it difficult for guards to throw over. And he works real well with our wings. We want to extend our press and do a little bit of trapping. You know, it's still a learning process and probably will be hopefully for another 2 years.
Seems like the ball club that you have this year is not a typical Nokomis type ball club simply because of the size that you have.
Yeah, Carter at 6'8", brother at 6'5", Austin and Camden, you know, 6'2", 6'3", Hendricks at 6'1". We did get Ben Marley back. He was coming off of a broken collarbone from football at 6'2", and he's more of a banger. We've gotten excuse me, Connor Engelman, who recovered, you know, missed most of the football season, got to play a little bit at the end, you know, with some elbow problems that he's had. And, you know, we got him back as a point guard. He's actually learned to play left-handed. You know, a little restriction with what he can do with the movement of his elbow, but it's getting better along the line. Then we got B.J. Chaucy, you know, as a senior also, who's a good perimeter shooter, and the defense is getting better, a lot better than it was, you know, a couple years ago. So, you know, we've got depth, we've got size, we've got experience, we got the pieces. It's just whether or not, you know, we want to go out and make the effort and put it all together.
McComas head coach Steve Kimbrough joining us here on Sports Saturday. And coach, you play Lincolnwood tonight to wrap up the Mohawk Classic, but I do want to talk to you about the Litchfield Invitational coming up for you, which will begin next week for McComas. You got the 3 seed. That's a very good seed in a very good tournament.
Yeah, I was surprised. I figured, you know, at the time we seeded, we were 6-5. And I know we play a tough schedule, but we didn't play well early. We didn't know how hard we had to play in order to give ourselves a chance to win. But you know, and whenever I thought we've had better teams and deserve a higher seed, we get seed 7th or 8th. So you know, we're happy to have it. We've got East Hollywood River and Hillsboro. Then after that, we hope to get into the championship pool, and then we would really like to have a shot at Taylorville and Bethalto again. Who beat us earlier at Thanksgiving.
And Steve, every year in this tournament, you're always, if you're not the smallest school, you're one of the smallest schools, but every single year, the team you take in competes with these bigger squads.
Yeah, and well, you know, that's try to show them, you know, what you've got to do and try to get them. Our problem has been, you know, early in the year, we wasn't ready to compete mentally with them. We wasn't ready to meet the, you know, physically play hard enough to do it. And we turned that corner against Marquette where, you know, they very good ball club, and then our kids went over and battled them, and then we actually had 2 possessions in the last 40 seconds of the ball game, you know, to tie the thing up. We didn't get the job done, but we found out how hard we could play it and how we had to play to beat a team of that caliber.
And Steve, I guess that's the perfect example of you learned more about your team in a loss than maybe in any win you've had this year.
Yeah, I didn't like the way we lost this year, but we talk about them that, you know, we absolutely know what we have to work on, and what we had to work on was a lot harder defensive effort, you know, stopping transition up the floor and stopping dribble penetration down the middle of the lane, and those two things for 4 games just killed us.
And you would think with that size that you have, that would be a distinct possibility of stopping that penetration, absolutely.
Well, and you don't move your feet, you don't stop many basketballs.
Yeah.
So, Steve, outside of maybe just the intensity that has come up, where do you need to see maybe improvement moving forward here to get where you guys want to go, or is it just pure effort?
I would say it's recognition of where you've got to be, you know, keeping your head moving, keeping your feet moving, looking for what you got to do, looking for ways to take something away from your opponent. You know, we've got the physical ability. It's getting that focus on 100% of what you're doing out on the floor, that there's always something to do, and looking to find it. And we do that at times. We've done that against opponents. And it's just that, you know, we've been stressing to them, you know, what are you doing to prepare for, you know, the best team left on your schedule? And, you know, we went through, you know, a couple lopsided wins earlier this week, and you know, that they puts them in a false sense of confidence, and they don't think they've got to go out and work very hard. So, and there's a maturity level there where as we mature and figure out, you know, learn to play one way and attack your opponents that same way every time, each possession.
Steve Kimbrough, the head coach of Nokomis, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and I have a feeling you're going to take Nokomis on a fun ride here over the next several weeks.
Well, we hope so.
Yeah. Good luck, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you.
He keeps it so simple, doesn't he? The great ones always do.
Yeah.
Don't try to clutter their mind with too many different things. You got to play harder, move your feet, and just recognize.
Well, and it goes from the point of actually having to think about it instead of just plain reacting to it.
And that's what makes Nokomis so good. Yeah, they react.
Yeah, they just react very, very well. And you know, they're traditionally a team that takes advantage of turnovers. You know, they force you into turnovers. They have a great transition game, generally. And that's how you end up on the short end of the stick. And Nokomis has the ability to get out to a huge lead and basically bury you in the first quarter. And you know, you just can't battle back.
So. And maybe in that respect, they are kind of a vintage Nokomis team where You get off the bus and you're down 10 or 15. Oh, like, how did this happen?
Yeah. It's not unusual. And, you know, once that defensive effort that Coach Kimbrough was talking about, once it clicks, this is a team that's going to be a powerhouse.
Oh, and that sends chills down the spine of every team that's still on Nakoma's schedule.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. And, you know, you look into the postseason even and you think, well, what could be? So, but that's still, you know, 6-8 weeks away. So
they're going to make some noise up in Litchfield this week.
Oh, yes. It would not shock me to see them do very well in this Litchfield Invitational Tournament. They generally, we know they compete. They always compete. But being the number three seed, I think, is well deserved.
I mean, they've had talent over the years, obviously. They've got a Hall of Fame coach, of course. And without those two things, nothing else is really going to matter, per se, in terms of success. But the schedule that they play, year in, year out, to me, it's so impressive because they're little old Nokomis. They're playing Granite City.
Yeah.
They're playing Taylor. They don't care. It doesn't matter.
Well, it does matter because they learn real quick their shortcomings.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that Coach Kimbrough, the great coaches, can zero in on that. And you know, but right off the bat, you got to know where your weaknesses are. So instead of playing a lighter schedule early on, they get into that turkey tournament and where they see the 3A schools, they're going to learn right off the bat where they have their strengths and where they have their weaknesses, and then Coach Kimbrough goes to work.
That's right. Well, if you look at Nokomis's, like if you just look at records, and you look at their record around Christmas, and if they only have one or two losses, they are great.
Yeah.
If they have three or four losses, or five, they are really, really good.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, they're about as good of a five-loss team you're going to see around.
Yeah. They're, you know, the record doesn't mean anything.
It
really doesn't mean anything. It's all about preparation, going, you know, learning as the season goes along, and then preparing yourself for the end of the season.
I don't know if this will make sense. To me, you're right. The record means nothing unless it's good. If they have a good record, that means that they're great because of the teams that they have played. If their record is good early, they are really good.
And a lot of times you'll see several losses with Nokomis, and people will perhaps not give them the seating they deserve because they see those losses, but they don't realize they're to 3A schools.
Exactly.
And, you know, that kind of makes them very, very dangerous.
The teams recognize that this year, I think the combination of the teams they played, but when you got 6-8 and 6-5, that gets people's attention.
And they like to play with a chip on their shoulder.
Yes, they do.
You know?
We like that.
Oh, yeah. That's fun basketball. And, you know, watching somebody who's 6 feet 8 inches tall, at the point of that press, oh my God.
That's problematic.
You know, that's a nightmare for opposing teams. I don't care how tall your guards are.
They're not throwing over the top.
They're not going to throw over the top of that. Not very often anyway.
No.
So.
And it's not just that. The other four guys behind them working in concert. I mean, it's like one just solid unit that moves in concert with each other.
And you know, conditioning is part of it too. Yeah. And Nokomis is, you know, always well conditioned. You're never going to outrun them. You're never going to wear them down. They seem sometimes to get stronger as the game goes along.
Well, and Coach Kimbrough alluded to it, talking about going into Morrisonville, coming off of a 2-week break, and he said something to the effect of, they like the games because practices are no fun.
Yeah.
And they had two, while everybody else was having fun over the holidays, going to tournaments, having a good time, Nokomis cranked the heat up, shut the doors.
Yep.
Boys, we're going to get better.
We're going to get work. We're going to work. That's right. So they are what they are.
And they are a very good squad headed into the Litchfield Invitational, which will tip off today at 2:30. Four games on the docket, and we're joined now by Litchfield head coach Drew Logan. Coach, good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys.
Well, you've been around Litchfield a number of years now, and I would imagine the opening day of the Litchfield Invitational is always a lot of fun.
Yeah, we were still there probably 10 or 10:30 last night after our game, trying to get things set up and trying to make sure we've got all our ducks in a row to start the day. And, you know, and we've been preaching to our kids for a while now that your next game is your most important game. So I was really trying to focus on our game last night, and then once that ends and the dust settles, you have to start really preparing for today.
This Invitational feel, it's so good. You get the mix of the bigger schools with the smaller schools, and it seems you're in a lot of ways the field kind of takes care of itself. Now, you have a lot of people that want in this tournament that can't get in.
Yeah, we've had people, you know, obviously Taylorville's in, now Mount Zion's in, now we've had some changeover even since I've been in Litchfield. So there's, you know, there's teams that would like to get in, and obviously we'd love to be able to accommodate it, but at this time we have a pretty strong field and we have teams that are committed to it.
Drew Logan joining us here on WSMI Sports Saturday talking about the Litchfield Invitational. And the top four seeds this year, CM's the one, Taylorville's the two, Nokomis the three, Greenville the four. And this is all coaches seeding?
Yes, yeah. The coaches seed and then averages out, we put it in the matrix to determine, you know, how the averages fall out, and that's how they fell. You know, they, you know, really wasn't, based on at least from my view, and I know everybody's views a little bit different, but my view, I didn't feel like it was too far off. Maybe could have switched a couple teams, but I think it came out pretty good.
You just got to play whoever you get your draw with. So, you know, you get to open up against the top-seeded Civic Memorial tonight, so you're going to have your hands full.
First off, Terry, I'm glad to hear your voice. I didn't know you were on the thing. I'm glad to hear you and glad to have a conversation with you.
Well, we'll be seeing you this week at the tournament, so, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Obviously we have a tough draw the first night, and you know, like I talked to the kids a little bit last night about CM after our game, and I told them, I said, it's, you know, obviously it's tough, but at the same time, you know, that's the type of competition you want to test yourself against. We've been a little bit up and down the last few weeks, and when we play our best basketball, like I told our kids, I'm never intimidated by anybody, but I'm not worried about any game if we just play our game.
Yeah. Andrew, I think at least wins and losses wise, I think you have surprised a lot of people this year.
You know, and we talked about it last year. You know, we let some games slip last year, and not taking anything away from our opponents because obviously they beat us, but we felt like there were five or six games last year that we could have came out on top. And this year we've had some tight games that our kids have been able to prevail in. And, you know, even last night I was talking to Coach Schultes after the game, and Lewis played very well in the first half. Made us have to make some adjustments at halftime that, you know, we hadn't anticipated making. And, you know, we're pleased with where we're at. But as I told our kids, when we get out of the Litchfield Invitational, we've got a schedule that I'm confident we can really compete in.
Drew, do you have, like, when you go into this tournament, you know that it's a very tough field. Where do you realistically hope that your team can be at the end of this coming week?
You know, in my mind, for us, I think we're going to have to steal one of these first two games. I mean, you know, Metro East Lutheran that we see Monday, although they are the eighth seed, if anybody's paid attention to their schedule,
tough.
They've played a pretty rough center part of their schedule, and they're starting to come out of it a little bit. And I haven't seen him since Thanksgiving, so I don't have a good feel on him yet. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know where, you know, I think honestly it really depends on which one of our teams shows up. And we had this discussion last night that if our first half team shows up tonight, you know, we're going to dig a big hole. But if we can show up, comparable to what we did against Hillsboro, I think we're going to be able to compete. But again, I'm familiar with CM. I've seen him on film. That doesn't necessarily do anybody justice, but I don't know. I don't know where we'll end up. You know, my thing is, like I tell the kids, we're going to go one game at a time. Next game's the most important game, so all we're worried about right now is CM.
And it's got to be a situation where you can't be the deer in the headlights because, you know, the first three or four minutes of the ball game, you got to stay even with these guys.
But, right, and we, you know, we obviously, the final score when we played Nokomis was not pretty, but in the first 8 to 10 minutes of that game, we were competing, we were handling the pressure, we were playing good defense, and I think this, you know, CM can be very comparable to Nokomis in a lot of ways, and like I told them, I said, you have to come out, you know, obviously the goal as a coach is to play 32 minutes, and sometimes that's not realistic, but you're wanting to play as consistent as you can through the game. Well, that starts with the tip, and I even say it starts with our warm-up. You know, as soon as we come out of the locker room, we've got to be ready to play. And, you know, that's something we've really been stressing, and we've been a little bit up and down with it lately.
that's an interesting point, Drew. Like the really good teams, warm-ups is serious business.
I said it a lot last year to this group, and I haven't had to say it quite as much this year, but you know, I could pretty much tell what we were going to get that night based on their warm-up. Body language, just their effort level, their focus. Shots are falling. If they're not falling, how are we handling the shots not falling in warm-ups? So we could read a lot of things last year. And this year we really focused on, we do the warm-up every day at the beginning of practice. And we don't let them, we don't let them just go through the motions. So we're hoping that we come out focused and just come out and play hard tonight. It's really the only thing I can ask.
That's a true coach's instinct, looking at your team during warm-up and figuring out what kind of night you're going to have. That's not easy to do.
After 15 years, you can get a pretty good feel.
Yeah.
I can get a pretty good feel just looking at him in the pregame. So it's, we're trying to make ourselves a better team by understanding that, okay, some of those things have been our flaws in the past and we want to try to improve on them.
Well, Drew, the Invitational starts at 2:30 today, and then, of course, a big day coming up on MLK Day Monday.
Yeah, we run pretty much the same schedule that that we run today, so they're kind of mirrored days where you start at 2:30 and you go, four games back-to-back. There's some good matchups, I've been so focused on our last week, I haven't even really looked at the schedule. I know when we play, and I know when I need to be there to get everything ready, and then everything else will kind of take everything else. I mean, it's kind of I even anticipated you guys calling. I thought, man, I should have printed the schedule off so I had a little bit more in front of me. But, we're really trying to focus on day-to-day. I've got a youth game this morning with my fifth-grade team, so I'm going to be in Staunton playing a game here in about an hour and 15 minutes. So I'm working day-to-day, and I'm trying to get the kids to focus one game, one day at a time.
And if anybody wants a good basketball tournament, the Litchfield Invitational Tournament is one of the best in-season tournaments, I think, in the state of Illinois, to be honest with you, I think, because just the kind of teams that you're able to bring to the tournament.
Yeah, and even when I was, coaching in Mount Olive, obviously we had the Macoupin County Tournament, which I always really looked forward to, and, then I come to Litchfield and I get a taste of the Invitational, and I thought, man, this is a good tournament.
Yeah.
And it's balanced from top to bottom. You've got games. You obviously have some teams that are kind of at the top and some teams that are kind of at the bottom, but some of those middle teams could jump up and scare some people.
Yeah, absolutely. Drew Logan, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. Best of luck with Litchfield this weekend. Have fun running the tournament.
All right, thanks, guys.
Drew Logan, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers. And, Terry, the great thing about the Litchfield Invitational, besides the great field, is you got the pool play.
The pool play.
But then.
Brackets.
There we go.
Yeah, you got the brackets. And the great thing about pool play is the teams basically shake out and get into the brackets that they belong in. So the games are a little more competitive, towards the end of the week, whether you're playing in Panther Gym or Simmons Gym, and that makes for a great tournament. And I've said this for many, many years, this is one of the best in-season tournaments in the state of Illinois because of the you go from the smaller schools to the 3A schools, and they're all competitive. It's just a great tournament.
Well, especially now with Taylorville in there.
Yeah.
You've got CM and Taylorville and Nacomis.
Yeah.
I mean, year in, year out, you can basically bank those teams are going to be really good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You've got a consistent base of teams that participate there, and on a given night, you never know.
And an era where there's so many tournaments where I feel like a lot of these tournament organizers scramble around desperately trying to find teams to fill out their fields. I mean, we see some tournaments that have JV teams in
them,
for goodness sakes. Litchfield's the exact opposite. They got to turn people away.
They got to turn people away. And that right there, if that doesn't say anything, if you say nothing more about a tournament that you have to turn people away, that tells you it's a good tournament.
So. We need to get to a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We will come back and talk about the 100th Macoupin County Tournament, following these messages on WSMI.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. The Carlinville Post-Prom will have Dancing with the Stars. It'll be February 3rd at the Big House on West Main in Carlinville. 7 o'clock it will begin. The doors open at 6:30. Tickets are $10 for adults, $5 for kindergarten through the 12th grade. 4 and under will get in free. Advanced tickets available at Body Depot, Coco Bongo, Bliss and Gibble Home Services. You can also buy those tickets at the door on February the 3rd.
Darren Deneve competing in that, is he?
He better be.
Better, Big D?
That's right.
Okay.
He's known for his dancing skills.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
Fleet of foot.
That's right. Who knows? Maybe he'll be dancing today as his Lady Cavaliers will tip off the 100th installment of the Macoupin County Tournament. They will face North Mac today in a girls' game, the first of five games at the 100th Macoupin County Tournament. And, Terry, I feel like we've been talking about the 100th county for a number of years now, just kind of waiting in anticipation for this thing to get to 100, the second oldest county tournament in the state. And historically, it has been so great over the years, and we've come full circle now with the tournament being at North Mac this year because the last time it was at North Mac was the first year that we had to go to pool play because of all the consolidations and various things that have been going on in Macoupin County, and it's not the same.
No, it certainly, I can remember commenting, without the brackets, it's just a different kind of tournament. And I think the question is, is there longevity for this tournament?
I don't think so. I really don't. As well, it's had longevity because it's 100 years old.
Yeah.
But moving forward,
with the shrinking number of teams and you know the uncertainty of school funding and such, will they consider perhaps adding teams from outside the county? And making it more of an invitational, will they stay with the teams that they have and do the 100 first edition next year with the teams that they have? So I think I've heard a lot of chatter, nothing official. It's above my pay grade, so I don't care. But it kind of makes you wonder sometimes, with the shrinking number of schools.
To me, there's a chance this is the last one. That's personally how I am approaching this. That it's not going to be around. Mm-hmm. Next year. I love the county tournament.
Yeah.
Born and raised in Bunker Hill. And this is,
And if there was ever one coach that loved the county tournament, it was Jim Lofton.
Oh, he loved it.
To this day, he will tell you that it was an important part of the season to win the county.
Well, he always tried to have his teams getting ready to peak right now for this week, moving in to the postseason. But as I think about this tournament, what made it special was the first part of it when it was bracketed, but when it was single elimination. So you got a whole week of your schedule blocked out. If you lose the first game, you're done and you're practicing the rest of the week. That's not that way now. Coaches don't want to block out a whole week of their schedule and not be guaranteed at least three or four games. But that is what made the Macoupin County tournament so special.
Well,
it was one and done.
It was like the postseason.
Yes.
In regional tournaments, and I can remember broadcasting the tournament when it was the single elimination part, before they went to the double brackets and added the girls part. So.
Would you like to know the future of the county tournament?
Yeah.
We've got, Mr. Deneve himself. Mr. Darren Deneve.
Dancing with the Stars.
Hold on,
let
me transfer him over just a second.
Okay. There we go.
Darren's the man with the info.
That's right.
Always has been.
There you go. And plus he's fleet of foot.
That's right. Known for his dancing skills.
Yeah, that's right.
Countywide.
And dancing and math at the same time.
Dancing while doing math.
There you go.
Darren, good morning.
Good morning. There's no dancing, gentlemen.
No. What if you win the title?
I'm not in the competition. The Macoupin
County. Yeah.
Title? Yeah, if you win the Macoupin County title, will you bust the move?
Well, maybe not in public.
I understand. I know how that goes.
Yeah.
Darren, you have some information here. We're at the 100th Macoupin County Tournament. What's the future?
We are. The future is, as you say, it's a bit unclear, but I wouldn't go so far as to say I think this is the last one or it could be the last one. I would, if I was guessing, and it's not clear, but we've been talking about different options. But as you know, one option is related to the fact that the new IHSA scheduling rule does not necessarily limit you on tournaments so much as it just limits you on games. And anyway, so it's possible we could, for example, have a tournament with six teams in a bracket. And so the coaches wouldn't be too, upset about just having a tournament where you play two games, for example, if you're one of the teams that got a bye. And so I think the county tournament is going to live on at least for a little while. You know, again, there's still some votes that need to be taken, and actually I don't have a vote on the principals vote on that sort of thing. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there that it's, you know, I wouldn't describe it as something that's necessarily dying. The format may change, that's for sure.
You know, I think that's my biggest thing. I'm not a big fan of the pool play, just for my own personal two cents. I like a bracketed tournament, and I understand why they went to the pool play. It was out of necessity. But if it went back to a bracket, that would be a good thing.
Well, I think so, too. And I think, again, given with the rule change, I think that there would be some coaches that are positive about that possibility. And, again, we've been talking about it. Mostly through email, but I think it's entirely possible that next year you'll see a tournament with six teams. You know, on the girls' side, six teams in a bracket, and then on the boys' side, depending on any sort of consolidations more co-ops, I suppose, you know, either a tournament with six or seven teams, so with a bracket.
Darren, explain this change in the IHSA ruling concerning the number of games.
It used to be that you would have the ability, or even this year it's still the rule, you could play 16 regular season games and 3 tournaments, or 18 regular season games and 2 tournaments. These tournaments are exclusive of the postseason tournament. Or, I forget honestly what the other one was. Maybe it's 20-1, but really nobody in the area does that. Most everybody around here is either 18 regular season games and 2 tournaments and then 16 or 3, and anyway, the rule starting next year is that you can play just 31 games, whether they're in tournaments or whether they're not in tournaments. You can just figure out a way to play 31 games.
Okay.
That was your proposal.
It was. Pat Drew and I proposed it to the IHSA, and it went through. And anyway, I think it'll help a lot of schools do some various things, whether it be, you know, more creative tournaments or the ability to get into a shootout or that sort of thing. So
yeah.
I think it's going to create some flexibility. And, you know, we need some flexibility sometimes with our scheduling.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Darren, you'll have the first game up today at the county taking on North Mackin. A lot like the Carlinville Holiday Tournament, this girls' draw at the county, to me, it is wide open.
Oh, I think so, too. You know, as you know, at our holiday tournament, we were fortunate enough as the 5 seed to come out, you know, the champion. Mm-hmm. And trust me, I have told our girls that that's entirely possible again this week. You know, we're the 1 seed, but we're 1-2 against the 2-3 seeds. And so, you know, it's a wide-open kind of deal. Whoever just happens to play the best this week is going to be the one that ends up winning. So.
Yeah. Darren, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning. Thanks for the clarity on the future of the Macoupin County Tournament, sir.
Sure. Terry, sure is good to hear you on the radio.
Thank you, Darren. It's good to be back.
We'll see you soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Take care.
You bet. Bye.
All right. Darren Deneve, the head coach of the Carlinville Lady Cavaliers and the athletic director at Carlinville. So that's a good report.
That's a good report, and I would tend to think that the bracket thing might be what we're looking at next year for Macoupin County Tournament. So,
unfortunately, the most disappointing part of that was he said he wasn't going to be dancing. Shame.
Tell you what, he wins the tournament, he'll do a little step for it.
I expect it.
Maybe not publicly.
Not publicly, no. In the locker room.
Because that would live forever.
Yeah. Yes.
He doesn't want to go viral.
Get the cameras out. Get the phones out. All right. Bust a move, and it's on the internet forever.
Yeah, that's right. You can never delete that. 4 broadcasts on the radio today. We will bounce from the Litchfield Invitational to the Macoupin County Tournament. We'll start in Litchfield live at 4. It'll be Hillsboro against Wood River. Then off to the Macoupin County Tournament for a boys broadcast between North Mac and Bunker Hill. Broadcast time right around 5:30. Back to Litchfield we will head for Litchfield and Civic Memorial. That game will be live at 7 o'clock. And then the nightcap from the Macoupin County Tournament, Southwestern and Mount Olive in boys action. Broadcast time 8:30 tonight. All 4 games on FM 106 and streaming online at WSMIRadio.com.
So another big week of high school basketball. We'll have games every night with the exception of Wednesday, unless the weather does something goofy and forces us to go to a Wednesday night. And we'll have coverage all the way through next Saturday. So from the Macoupin County and the Litchfield Invitational Tournament.
Fun week of basketball.
Yeah, fun week of basketball. And for the boys, it's kind of one of those benchmark times of the season for teams involved in the Litchfield Invitational. And for the girls at the Macoupin County Tournament, it's tune-up time. Time to get ready for the postseason because it's not very far away.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Also today, the Mohawk Classic wraps up. Carlinville plays Mulberry Grove at 5, followed by Vandalia Edinburgh, and then Nokomis and Lincolnwood will wrap up the Mohawk Classic. And the Litchfield Lady Panthers, they will conclude the Lady Spartan Classic this morning. They will tip right here at the top of the hour against Triopia for fifth place. Of course, our entire broadcast schedule available for you at WSMIRadio.com. Send us home, T.
Hey, it's time to wrap it up. Have a great sporting weekend. Get out there and watch these ball games, watch these local kids play and participate in the tournaments. Have a great sporting weekend. On WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. It is 10 o'clock.